BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening to the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub, back here for hour number two on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston joined in studio this week by Billy Jaffe. He's been spending lots of time with us thanks to when the Bruins are playing, they've been on the road for three Saturdays in a row. So
I don't know if it must be just a coincidence. A lot of Sunday games at home. And
during football season
is
a strange, it is strange setup.
It is very strange. I grew up with Sunday games an awful lot in Chicago, and that was by design. That was the Blackhawks' home, one of their big home nights. I think it was Wednesday and Sundays, if I remember correctly. But Sundays were huge because, especially in football season, a lot of the same fans would go to the Bears game at 1 o'clock. And show up.
Nice rowdy atmosphere in Chicago.
Oh my God.
Sunday night game.
Are you kidding me? And then in the old Chicago Stadium, just like the old Garden, you had to walk up.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you would walk up. The second balcony creatures, as they were called, were phenomenal. And they would get up there. By the end of the game, games were only 2 hours and 2 hours, 15 minutes, like 9:45 on Sunday night. Oh, if it was a game, especially an old Norris division, the old Chuck Norris division. You're a little kid and you're walking down and you're looking at everybody and you didn't understand what they were going through. But now,
as a fan,
it's tremendous.
As a fan, you go to these arenas are really nice. Like they're spacious and they've got amenities and they've got great food and cocktails.
And they're clean and they don't smell like a frat house
absolutely.
At 3 a.m.
I remember, as a kid, we were talking to Bob Beers about playing at the Philadelphia Spectrum earlier. As a kid going there, mom and dad would take me to Flyers games for as long as I could remember. And you go on the concourse, you could not move. There wasn't an inch around the people trying to get in and out of that building. It was insane. You don't have to deal with that anymore, but you miss out on that. The fan experience in those old barns. My family moved out to Chicago just a couple of years before they closed the Chicago Stadium and opened the United Center. And that place was incredible to watch a game.
It was 300,000 square feet. I don't remember. I remember Boston Garden. I went to many games there coming into town regularly because they were, again, my team, the Bruins. Even though I grew up in Chicago, the Bruins were my team. But I don't know what the size was. I don't even know if it was 300,000 square feet. But then they built United Center, and I'll never forget the Wirtz family. Bill Wirtz said, it's 900,000 square feet, but it's going to have the intimacy of the Chicago City. I'm like, what? What?
No, it doesn't.
And, you miss the interaction. You go sit in the balcony at either any of the old buildings. And I was fortunate enough. I never got to see a game at Montreal Forum, but I did Toronto. I did at the Forum, the L.A. Forum, Boston Garden, Chicago Stadium. Even if you're on the second balcony, you could touch the game still.
Oh, yeah.
You could feel it. You could, it was amazing. And now you go to some of these other buildings and you're just way up there and it's nice and you can still get into it, but it's different. And I know I'm sounding like the old man, get off my lawn, but I do miss the old buildings. But Chicago Stadium on a Sunday night after a Bears game, and at times when the Bears were not bad, they were pretty good, you know, Walter Payton era and everything. Oh, my God, were those crowds, you know, and especially if there happened to be a fight in warmups. Oh, God, what a night. You know, those were nights that you never forget. I remember numerous times going to a Blues-Hawks game or a Minnesota North Star game or an Edmonton game. And Edmonton, by the way, had, you know, of course, Gretzky coming to town. But just in general, they had some tough guys, too. Let's not forget guys like Semenko, you know, playing on that team, too.
Well, it's a timely discussion, too, because the UBS Arena is opening
tonight.
Down in Long Island, right? The Islanders are moving into their new digs after their lengthy road trip to start the season. They finally opened the new barn tonight.
13 games on the road. There was two or three times where they were able to get home, change clothes, etc. But it was a tough trip, especially ending in Florida. You know, I thought maybe they would be able to use the last two games, the Panthers and the Lightning, as kind of a real good not litmus test, but a good, you know, way to end it and be energetic and everything. And it wasn't. In fact, Tampa Bay Lightning gave it to them pretty good, saying, hey, you know, we know that you're trying to use this game to get you going, and we're going to show you that we're still the champs, two-time defending champs. And then Florida really throttled them. Unfortunately for the Islanders right now, two main players, and Josh Bailey and Anders Lee have COVID. So they're out. Josh Bailey is down in Florida. He is not allowed to come back yet. So he's got at least 8 to 10 days down there till he produces the old two negative tests per terms of the league protocol to come back. So two veteran players. And Josh Bailey is, I don't know if enough people around here appreciate him, but I tell you, he's going to go down as one of the really good Islanders. He is of in their history and longevity and everything. And I feel bad for him in that regard, not being able to open up UBS, which I'm told is gorgeous. I am told they really tried to take a lot of things into consideration to where they move the upper deck, you know, the balcony in more, so it's a better pitch and you're not as far back. I have you obviously yet to be there. And having spent 4 years with the Islanders doing their games, I can tell you that the Coliseum is and was a dump. It was their dump, though. I mean, that you want to talk about uncomfortable at times. That was really a place whatever. but you know what? It was intimate and it was loud. And the last couple of years, especially last year with the playoffs, 15,000 fans or 14,000. Actually, they brought the size down. It was crazy. It was loud.
I mean, whether it's the old building or the new building, I'm just glad they're out of Brooklyn. That was just not the right fit for anything involved.
I'd agree.
There.
I'd agree.
You know. All right, let's get back on the Bruins here, and let's get to some of your calls at 617-779-0985. Mark is up first. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Billy, long time no talk.
What's up, Mark? How you doing?
A couple of things I want to touch on, if I may. But before I do that, I just want a quick note. David Krejci, like 20 games, 10 goals, 11 assists in the Czech League. Just throwing that out there.
Mm. Yeah, memories.
But I want to touch on the scheduling. I noticed I went through pretty much just the Bruins division, and I see that Tampa Bay and Florida are going to go through that same 5-day nonsense, but it's not till really late in the season. And it's like March or April for both of them. And I'm worried that the Bruins won't be able to afford to go on a losing streak at all this year, because they played while the Bruins had 5 days off, and then they're going to continue to play while the Bruins are back on the ice. And if they get in a hole, they might not be able to climb out of it, guys. And personally, as far as the schedule goes, I don't think that's kind of fair, do you?
I definitely don't think it's fair, unfortunately, Mark. You know, that's – it can be griped about. Again, I go back to what I said to Ryan earlier in the show. I'd love to know why, okay? You know, why? You know, what created this scenario? Now, with all this said, Mark's point is very valid in that they will not be able probably to go on an extended losing streak or winless streak. You know, you can always pick up the shootout, overtime, lost points. But that's just, he's right, and you just got to deal with that. And let's hope that they can be consistent enough. And I go back to also what we were talking about with Judd. The Metropolitan Division, though, this year is probably going to provide, it's not It's going to provide a big challenge. I can't tell you 100% it's going to provide you five teams that get in over the fourth seed in the Atlantic, but I think there's a good chance of that happening, RJ.
Well, you've got it right now. You've got seven teams in that division that are 500 or better.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got five teams, including Philadelphia, who are at 633 percentage or better. That's pretty good.
And right? You got to think that
that's pretty strong. Now you got to hope that, you know, a couple of those teams start to drop off here a little bit and get beaten up, and that opens the door. But, you know, you've brought this up a few times already this year that the Atlantic Division may only get three teams in the playoffs this season.
It's the old, if I was a betting man, I would be willing to put a few, you know, bucks on that just because of how deep the Met is and how strong some of these teams are. On paper or on an iPad screen, you'd think, you know, the team that would probably have the quote-unquote best chance of dropping off is Columbus because of just how they're comprised, but Brad Larson, who I know well, head coach there, he's got the guys playing hard. And, you know, could they hang around? Sure. Could they create an issue? Sure. And the team that you think would get themselves going better has been the Islanders because they're 5-6-2 after that 13-game road trip. However, they just suffered an injury to Ryan Pulock. He's going to be out at least upwards of 6-7 weeks with a lower body leg injury. And their defense, especially their 4-5-6 crew, hasn't been great there. But, you know, Lou Lamoriello will probably pull something off to make it better. But you think that they will have a decent chance of elevating themselves. So it's going to be tough because they're going to have five teams that are going to probably push in 600. And, you know, the Bruins at 615 right now are on that precipice of, you know, just good enough. But, again, I think 8 games, 15 days coming up. You and I, hopefully in 2 weeks, if we're sitting here, I haven't looked ahead that far in the schedule. I think we'll have a much better realistic idea of this team then.
Just from a long-term perspective, adds a little bit of weight to this game tonight.
Absolutely.
Because Philadelphia is one of those teams that you should probably want to stay ahead of in the standings this season. Because they're going to be one of those that's on the cusp, right? Either they're going to squeak in there 4 or 5 probably in that division or they're not.
Right.
So that may be a team that you need wins against this season. 617-779-0985. Jump aboard with us. It is the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
Go, go, go!
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening to the Shaws and Star Market.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
If you really love hockey, this is your show.
They score!
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.5 The Sports Hub, Ryan Johnston and Billy Jaffe with you on this week's edition of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. 617-779-0985 if you would like to join us. Billy, we haven't touched on the goaltending as of yet.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Swayman got a rare back-to-back day start last week.
Mm-hmm.
Started both of those games. Ullmark took, was the backup for both games last weekend. He'll get the start tonight, but he's had a nice long layoff here. Statistically, Swayman has been the better goalie to this point. Played well last weekend when they needed him to in both of those games. What do you read into Bruce Cassidy's decision last weekend first to start Swayman in back-to-back games on consecutive days? Because that's not something that he typically does.
Well, he hasn't done it, especially with this tandem. Now, again, there's a small sample size, but gut instinct, a feel, a vibe, felt like, it, you know, not a must win, but it felt like it type of thing. And you know what? We're going to go with the guy who's just shown a little bit better, you know, quality of starts. Now, the funny thing is, I do think, and Razor and I talked about this on Morning Brew, that Razor feels, you know, that you know, you look at the starts of who they've each played and the competition.
Ullmark's
from
getting the tougher,
has gotten tougher
opposition.
Right, has gotten it. Now, against Edmonton, he was outstanding in the first period. You remember that? I mean, that could have been a 4-0 game in the first period alone, and he made some great saves. But Swayman went in to Jersey and looked like what we had seen last year in the short sample size from Swayman, and then, again, except for the Philadelphia game, some of what we've seen from him this year. And it was he looked really calm, really solid, held his feet, was not as overly, one of the things about Jeremy, he can be at times a little aggressive in the sense of he can't get them back to the post and everything. And it looked like he was pulled back just a little bit and was sliding, using angles to come back. I've learned all this stuff from Razor and the technology, the terms, et cetera, is great to really learn from him. And Swayman had that. So you start him again on Sunday night in a game, as we said, you should win. You better win if you're the Boston Bruins. It's not just the whole original six thing, which is nice and important, but it's against a team that isn't that good. Add all the other stuff into it, and you better win, and you needed to. And so they did, and Swayman did his part in that as well. So what do I make into it? Let's not read too much into it. It's an eye test thing. It's a gut reaction thing. And now you put Ullmark in, and you would expect Swayman, who's got that, you know, perfect record at home, you'd expect him to get tomorrow night's game. And I say that, and even a little, there's a little birdie in the back on this other shoulder over here in the back of the head saying, let's see how Ullmark does in this game. Could they go back to him if he comes in after more than 5 days for him? What is he at, 9 days now, I think?
He hadn't played in, I think it was the 11th.
So
9 days.
So, you know, you know, could they, would they? I don't know, maybe, but let's give him this game.
There were some questions about Ullmark coming into the season, right? I mean, the guy's played in Buffalo, so it's almost like a guy who doesn't have that much NHL experience. He's playing against NHL competition, but he doesn't have much of an NHL team around him.
At least NHL experience.
Exactly. Yeah. So as we said, he's kind of gotten the assignment of playing the tougher opponents.
Let me just go over Edmonton, yep. Toronto, Florida. San Jose. Am I forgetting it? I am forgetting somebody. I need to go back more into the season, but those are his last five opponents. So he started at Buff. Remember, that was his first game.
Right.
Then San Jose, at Florida, home Florida, at Toronto, and then Edmonton. Florida twice, Toronto, Edmonton. Those are pretty good. Those are definitely better teams. Higher end teams.
Bruce Cassidy talked last week about that decision to start Swayman back to back. He said, you know, we kind of, given the schedule, he said, we kind of made the determination. It's like, let's see if we can get one guy going, right, and then we can turn around and see if we can get the other guy going.
That's what you got to do. That's the schedule overall has probably had the most impact on the goaltending than the entire team. I mean, because neither guy expect, you know, if you come in and in these first 13 games, if you had a clear-cut number one, that number one would play eight games for sure, maybe nine.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd get his games. And then the other guy would get four, let's say. Let's say it was 9-4, right? In a backup role. This year, because of the unknown, because of the opportunity to develop not one but two goaltenders, you wanted them basically each to play 6.5. I'm being smart, Alec. You know what I mean? You wanted them to play 1.7 and 1.6 in theory. And you've almost gotten to that, but I think it's impacted them an awful lot, just the fits and the starts. So let's see now if 8 games in 15 days, let's see if they just go back and forth and each one starts getting more appearances.
Let's go to Jim in the car up next here on the Shaw's and Star Market Hockey Show. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
I want to take this the schedule thing in a different place, more in the marketing side. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had a San Jose game at home against the Patriots. Tomorrow night, we see Calgary. Now, love Calgary. I don't need to see them every year. And we lose those games at the loss. You know, we get those games at the loss of seeing Montreal and Toronto and some real hatred. You guys might know. I thought I heard somebody say, we don't go to Florida again this year. We're done with that. It's, to me, the marketing of the sport is abysmal.
Well, let me ask you this before we hang up on you. There was an energy around the building when Connor McDavid came in. Mm. And I grew up, like I've said this before, I grew up in Chicago, and I would always go to see Wayne Gretzky. You know, he was from this faraway place, and I'm 13 or 12 years old of Edmonton, and I wanted to see him. So are you willing? You know, look, I get what you're saying about San Jose and Arizona and everything. I get it. Are you willing to give up bringing Connor McDavid into your building every year?
I am, because I'm a season ticket holder. I have a share of season tickets. If Connor McDavid was coming every other year, oh, my God, that ticket would be so valuable to me. I would die for it. Right now, I like it, but I hate missing the Montreal and Toronto games. I think they would, the Connor McDavid, even Johnny Gaudreau coming to town would mean more to me every other year than the opportunity to see them every year, because I do want to see those rivalries in the building. Even if they move it from four games in the package to 6-3-3, I think they'd do better by driving it that way.
It'll be interesting to see what they do now with the 32 teams in the league, because I don't like how less the – if we're going to play this type of schedule regularly, RJ, then go back to conference playoff, top eight, mm-hmm. versus the divisional. I think if you're going to keep it divisional, then you got to play more in the division. And I fully admit I am contradicting myself here. I like it when Connor comes in every year. I do. I think that one game is great. Jim makes good points, valid points as well, and being a season ticket holder, there's a lot to be said for that. But, you know, the amount of kids that came out to see Connor McDavid and Edmonton, even though they were still Bruins fans, was significant on that Thursday night. It's an interesting discussion. I think something the league, I know, does have to look at. They also have to bring back white jerseys at home. Screw this dark stuff at home anymore. Like, enough of it. White jerseys at home. It's been too long. Please. Jerseys at home.
I was just reading a piece the other day on The Athletic or someplace like that that talked about during the pandemic scheduling, we were seeing back-to-back games between teams. And, you know, they were doing kind of these travel pods, right? And there was a lot of talk during that, you know, maybe it was something that the players liked.
Loved it.
It limited the travel, made it easier because you were going to stick around in a city for a couple of days as opposed to just get in, play the game, and get out.
Loved it.
They didn't stick with that this year, right? You're not seeing that. And it's something that I've always enjoyed about the college game is you get those weekend series where they play each other on a Friday night and then play each other on a Saturday night. If they're close enough, they can do a home and home type of series, or maybe you just do it 2-in-1 barn. That helps amp up the energy level too. Because anytime you have to play a team twice in a row, that second game always has a little bit of extra juice to it.
Right. And you're right. But now you're playing 7 teams or 8 teams in a division. That was it.
Yes.
So that made complete sense. But now, just using Jim that was calling it last caller. So now, let's say you did that with Florida when they were in town, like, hypothetically.
Yeah.
You know, if your Florida's not coming back to you all year, so you're going to do it 2 games in 3 days, is that optimal?
Right.
It's not. The what they try to do, I don't know if fans have noticed this, the Western Conference teams, They try and have them play each other within a few weeks, if not even less. If you know, I don't have my schedule open right in front of me. Boston is going to be going out west soon, right? Mm. And they're going to see Edmonton in Edmonton, and they're going to see Calgary out there. And meanwhile, they just had Edmonton here, and they're having Calgary come in. And so that's what the league has tried to do. It's a, yeah, they're going out there December 8th, 9th, 11th. They're doing that. So they're seeing those Western Canadian teams. So, I mean, they're trying. It still doesn't have the same energy as what you're talking about when you see it much, you know, back-to-backs.
617-779-0985. We will continue here with some few more thoughts on the Bruins. I also want to ask Billy about a couple of things going on around the league this week. The Pittsburgh Penguins look like they're going to have new ownership by Monday, perhaps. We will talk a little bit about that transaction as well as we continue here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on the flagship station of the Boston Bruins. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The show that's all hockey. The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, and the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston joined by Billy Jaffe. 617-779-0985 is the number if you would like to jump in with us as well. Couple more things about the Bruins. We've talked a little bit with Judd Surratt and Bob Beers back in the first hour about some of these topics, but you and I haven't really weighed in on them much. First and foremost, the two Charlies last weekend. Charlie McAvoy, who, by the way, before I forget, is our Rodenheiser Who's Heating Up Player of the Week. Nice. Brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services. Go to Rodenheiser.com today to book your annual heating system check to keep your home warm all season long. Charlie McAvoy, 2 goals on Sunday, 3 assists on Saturday. He's got 7 points total in his last 4 games. You know, in talking about him, obviously the 2-goal game stands out there, but just overall as a player, you know, when you're signing a guy to, you know, the max contract, as it's termed in the NBA, mm-hmm. And he gets an 8-year deal, and you say, this is the guy that we're going to build our defensive core around, the way he's played so far this year shows exactly what the Bruins want to see out of him. And he has embraced what they've been trying to get him to do for years now, which is shoot the puck more. Right? Shoot the puck more.
At times he has.
Be a little more selfish. It's okay.
Recent, yes. 7 shots against Montreal, 3 against New Jersey. There were a couple games before that where it was hold on to it and move it more.
His average shots per game is up like a half a shot this year, which is
overall, because he's had a few big games.
Yeah.
Okay. He had the 5 shots against Dallas, he had 4 shots against Detroit, 3 against Jersey, and 7 against Montreal. So that's, and I'm not nitpicking here. I'm saying those, though, bring along that average that you're talking about. So that's great. The power play, if and when he's going to quarterback it, will be significantly better when the threat of a Charlie McAvoy move and put the puck on net is there versus a move and dish. Because it'll open up the flanks, the elbows, the Marchand, the Bergeron, or the Marchand and the Pastrnak.
Right, because the defenders have to push in front of the net, right?
To try and block those shots. Especially, yeah, a lot of teams, it's kind of hard to describe it, but they'll play almost like a triangle in one. They'll rotate then their top guy with the movement up top. So if McAvoy moves from, let's just say he picks it up on his strong side, his right side, and he starts backpedaling towards the middle. That guy who had been on the strong side defense, PK, will, the defender will, or the forward will kind of rotate up with him, and then that leaves Charlie an opportunity. Do I go back to Marchand, or do I slide it over to Pastrnak if the middle guy, the other forward on the PK, can't quickly gap getting over there if they don't rotate, and the D can't, you know, all Pasta needs is 2 feet. But if the guy, if the defender can gap on him, take that 2 feet of ice on that rotation, if the puck isn't moved quickly, then he can block it better, or he can push Pasta a little bit outside the dot. But anyways, movement and decisiveness and quick to puck through by McAvoy will make this power play significantly better. Significantly. And it's been good lately, right? It's been getting going again, which is nice to see, but he'll have a big influence on it. If you don't have a shooter up top, and that's why when the Bruins had Krug there, you know, mm-hmm. when he was the maestro, when he was the man up top, he had the heavy shot. And when he used it, and he did use it a lot, teams had to respect it. So you go from 5-on-4 to almost a 4.5-on-4, you know, if you're not having a guy up top that's going to qualify as, I got to respect that shot.
The other Charlie, 2 goals as well on mm-hmm. Sunday in Charlie Coyle. Good to see him break out. He's almost equaled his goal total from a year ago already this mm-hmm. season in 13 games.
Now he's shooting more.
I was going to ask you. Have you thought of his game overall this year? And look, we've talked obviously about whether he's a good fit on the as a second line center, but you know, when he's on, as he was on Sunday, I mean, he can be a difference maker at times.
Right. I went through this big thing with Charlie until about 10 days ago. Yeah, up to about 10 days ago, where I talked about how he's averaging over 2 shots on goal a game. Not just attempts, but actually on net. When he's had his 2 most productive years in the NHL, 1 year he was over 2 shots on goal a game. The other year he was, I'm going to say, literally 3 shots under the 2 shots on goal per game average. I mean, he was there.
Mm-hmm.
The other years when he has struggled to produce numbers, he wasn't. He was at 1.4, I think, 1.6 a game. So it seems to be that this is the magic number for him, 2 shots on goal a game. Now, his last game, he had 4 against Montreal, 1 off his face and into the net, but we'll take that.
It counts.
But the previous 3 games, he only had a total of 2 shots in 3 games. And therefore, he started to get underneath that average again. And he needs to be 2-plus on it. You know, I fully admit I'm not against analytics. Do I overuse them? No. Do they have their place in the game? Yes. But it doesn't tell the whole story. But you know what tells the story with him? It's not even an analytic. It's just a good shot on goal counter.
Mm.
Simple, because it means that he's towards the net and he's directing the puck towards the net and he's bringing himself and his big body to the net as well. And he's not a guy usually, and I would love to get this, and I can probably ask some buddies of mine, especially at the NHL Network, where heat map on the ice is he taking him from? You know, a shot from 40 feet away with nobody in front, that's no big deal. Shot from 18 feet away where he snipes it and he gets it on there, and all of a sudden he and other bodies are, that's awesome. Who did he snipe it against? Was it Florida? Where he had that short, that from the left face-off circle where he brought the puck in and he sniped it. I mean, sizzler. That's what we need to see more of. And I hope it was Florida. It was one of his goals. I think it was. And it was just, it was. He beat Spencer Knight. It was fantastic. And you say, oh my God, with a release like that, why the hell are you not using that more, big boy? And that's what we need to see out of him.
Yeah. I mean, I've said it before. You know, Charlie Coyle is just, His years in Minnesota, there was always the knock on him was he just feels like there should be a little bit more. Yeah. At the end of the year, it feels like his numbers should be bigger than they are. He's only had 1 20-goal season in his career.
Yep.
It feels like he's a better player than the numbers bear out. You just need that more consistently. And that's the story with a lot of guys on this team, right? You just need you know they can do it. It's just a question of can you get it every single night.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about a couple of quick things around the NHL here,
mm-hmm.
Including the Fenway Sports Group is purchasing the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Looks like it.
Looks like it. It still needs approval from mm-hmm. the league. It's a 900 plus million or million dollar deal, and I was telling you off air, I was reading that it includes the developing rights, the old Civic Arena there in Pittsburgh, which I'm sure is a nice piece of property that you're going to make a ton of money off of.
So it's right next to PPG.
Yes. So
Arena.
They will have a nice little complex, I'm sure, built around there.
And that, just not to get off, that is similar to what we're starting to see in other areas, to where you have an entertainment district. Mm-hmm. You have an opportunity to promote your own products. I mean, we're seeing it at, I think it's still called LA Live, right next to Staples.
Yep.
You know, we're starting to see it. You know, the owner, former Massachusetts resident, Jeff Vinnick of Tampa Bay, one of the big reasons he bought the Lightning years ago, what a job that he's done down there, is he could develop all of the area right around there. Now he owns two hotels there, and he owns another, and now they're starting to get restaurants. And point is, that's where the big money is. You know, it's great to have the franchise, but everything else around it. And it is, it's a gorgeous old building. Well, gorgeous. It's a unique old building. I wonder if they use the building and build around it. I don't know. I don't know. But if that is the case, that will be a big boon for them.
Does it say anything to you about a group like, obviously, there's been a lot of talk around this week here in this area because of the, you know, the ties to Boston and all of this. But look, they own Liverpool. They're involved in auto racing.
F1 racing.
You know, they're doing all of these different things. Does it say good things about the league that this is a good investment? That a group like this says, you know what? Yeah, we're willing to put $900 million into buying an NHL franchise.
I would think so. I would hope so. I don't think that they're going to just throw their other, I guess, their pocket change around. You know, they own properties that are, how's this for understatement, pretty damn valuable, and they're making a lot of damn money on them. So I think they're going to look to do the same thing. The Penguins are a team that, you know, when Mario saved them off the ice, you know, I don't remember how many years ago it was, you know, people always said that it is a great hockey market. It is so vibrant there for the team. Yeah, I mean, you knew it does say a lot for the league, I think, but also you knew that it had to be at least $650 million. That was the bait. I mean, it was going to be $700 million.
That's the expansion price.
Because the expansion prices were $650 or whatever it was. And so you knew it was going to be at least $700. You throw in this other property. You throw in that it's the Penguins and not an expansion team. And all of a sudden, you come up with that number of 900, and other owners are like, thank you. Thank you very much.
Everybody's value goes up every time one of these things gets done, right?
And importantly and wisely, Mario Lemieux looks to be remaining on as a minority owner. You have to.
Right.
You have to have Mario there.
That was important to that's important to the fan base and to the city, right? That he's still a part of that organization.
It's important to somebody like me who's not on the fan base, who doesn't live there, who just loves Mario, respects the hell out of him, understands that he is the Penguins. He is. He's the Pittsburgh Penguins. I know Sidney Crosby, and to a lesser degree, Evgeny, but it's Crosby, right? But they're still current players. I mean, Mario embodies everything about the Penguins from an on and off the
ice. As you said, I mean, he literally saved the franchise.
Right.
Right? That they were in danger of not being there anymore. And he's the reason they still are.
What was that movie, The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, or whatever it was? It should be the Mario that saved Pittsburgh. They should redo the movie.
Bob is in New Bedford. Bob, you're up on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
Hi, guys. You know, up until this past year when the league had the contract with NBC Sports, if the Bruins weren't on, I could watch other teams play, get a sense of what's going on in the league. Like that previous caller Jim mentioned, this league's marketing is a bit off because where are all the games that are supposed to be on with this TV contract the league has with ESPN? Do you have any sense of why we're not seeing any other teams on TV?
Well, on TV, see this.
Okay, hold on. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so to me, what seems to be maybe not as flashy as I would have hoped TV-wise, I don't think I'm the target audience anymore. I think they're moving more and more toward emphasizing the streaming product emphasizing being able to watch every game for, you know, whatever the cost is of ESPN Plus, and you can have access to every game. You don't have to buy the old center ice package anymore. You don't have to, you know, pay through the nose for the NHL streaming product. Now it's, you know, like $10 a month. You can watch literally just about every game in the NHL. So I think that's where their marketing is designed. I think they're trying to get the younger viewer because they know that people like you and me and Bob are, you know what, we're always going to be there to watch our teams and we're always going to be there to watch the national games. I don't think that's where their emphasis is these days.
No, especially not ESPN's. ESPN's is their emphasis is on building up Plus. There's digital streaming platform. Yep. It's $6.99 a month. And I know that that can be unappealing to some people because like, wait a second. So now I got to buy that. But yet, in theory, many people already bought Center Ice package in the past. So this kind of overtakes that. But and I don't disagree with the last caller. But it was probably the last 5 years of the NBC deal. It could be off by a year or two, but they didn't start NBC with this many games on. It became a gradual increase, like a freight train got getting faster and faster. They started after the first few years, it took a few years. But after that, they started to add two games. Oh, now we're going to do three games every other week. Mm-hmm. We're going to do, and eventually, because NBC started losing other sports, they started doing at times.
Started leaning on it a little bit harder, yeah.
Exactly, upping it to four games a week, especially the second half of the year. TNT has not had many games yet. And the games that they have early on, except for the first week or so, maybe two, have been later games, have been 9 and 10 o'clock starts.
Well, they've got a wrestling contract. They've got
Exactly. They've got that right now. So the second half of the year, they'll amp it up a bit. But folks, the TNT deal will never be nearly as big as the ESPN deal. The ESPN deal is the one that I think is having the biggest impact on this. Now, they're also right now in college football, pro football.
That's what you deal with ESPN. And that you're competing for time with a lot of different sports.
Right. So when those are done, my guess, and I have not looked this far ahead, my guess is you'll start seeing more regular NHL games on ESPN. Now, you're going to have college basketball to compete with and the NBA, but you'll be all done with football. But I understand what the caller's saying because it is a change. Yet, I went down the road of getting the ESPN, the Plus thing. I have access to everything on my iPad or my streaming due to agreements that I have, like with the NHL, working for them. But I still, at home, wanted to try and have Plus. And so I tried it for a month, and you get everything there. If I'm smart enough, I could probably figure out how to take from one thing to another and, like, smart TV it and all that stuff. Because I want to watch it on my big screen, right?
Yes.
That's what I need to get.
I had to figure out when the Bruins had that exclusive game on ESPN Plus earlier this year.
Did you figure out how to do it?
Yes.
You took it from your.
I had it running on my phone, and I had to have like a Google Chromecast thing that's plugged into my TV that my phone talks to, and
holy
smokes, did it that way. That's the problem. It's like, I just want it to be, not to sound too much like Felger here, but I just want it to be simple. I want to be able to just press a button and have the game on, like I can with Ness and Billy.
Yes.
Right? And if a commercial break comes on, or, you know, it's not the intermission with Billy Jaffe, I can press a button and flip to something else real quick and then flip back. Like, that's what I miss with the streaming issues.
I don't disagree. I don't. And
they'll figure that out eventually. It's just not there yet.
Exactly. It will get there. But the call, very viable right now because it's what we know right now. Can we see 2 years from now when you start clicking back and forth between games? Maybe not, but it will get there.
Real quick before we wrap things up.
Yo.
Flyers tonight. Bruins Flyers at Philadelphia.
6 o'clock pregame on Nesson. Yep. We're gonna talk about a lot of stuff we talked about here. Philadelphia Flyers 4-2-2 in their last eight. Claude Giroux playing well.
Good. Carter Hart's having a better start to the season this year. A lot of concerns about him coming into the year.
And rightfully so, justifiably so. Again, he struggled with uncertainty and COVID and isolation, et cetera, with regard to that. Some interesting little nuggets that we just got from my buddy over at Ness and Timmy P. Last year, Carter Hart had a 75 save percentage on high danger chances, and 31% of his total shots faced were high danger. This year, 32% of all total shots are considered high danger against him, but he has an 89.7% save percentage.
It's one of the best percentages in the league, by the way, after being one of the worst in the league last year.
Philly overall, the Flyers have a 93.9% save percentage in high danger chances, so that's fifth. So they're doing a nice job. Listen, Claude Giroux playing with a lot of passion and energy. I like the move that they made to bring in Cam Atkinson for Jake Voracek, sending him to Columbus. Atkinson, good player. They're scoring more. But now this is a team that loves quick up transition. They can turn the puck over still. They're better than they were last year. Again, no Ryan Ellis in the lineup for at least up to 6 weeks. Ristolainen is there. Keith Yandle runs their power play. I mean, this is another great challenge for the Bruins. I think Flyers are good. I'm not ready to anoint them as great, but I think they're a good team. And if you gap out against them, like the Bruins did the first time they played them, turn the puck over and the gaps were bad, they will skate right back at you and they will beat you. They will do that. If you play them tight and you play middle of the ice hockey, and so I think the Bruins have a good chance of winning.
All right. See it on Nesson tonight. Hear it here on 98.5, the Sports Hub as well.
Great to see you. Great to be in. Yeah, 6 o'clock pregame, and looking forward to working again.
And a nice busy week for the Bruins here coming up.
Yeah.
We got games
Saturday, Sunday.
Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday.
Wednesday,
right?
Friday. Exactly. Friday's game, 1 o'clock. Now, remember, 1 o'clock, if your ticket originally said 3 or 3:30, I believe.
Yeah.
1 o'clock game now on Friday, and it's on ABC,
yes.
Not on ESPN+.
Okay. We'll look forward to all of that. We will be back here with the full crew next Saturday. Have a great week, everybody. Stick around for Gasper and Murray coming up next.
You're listening to the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on Boston's home of the Bruins, 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.